Blog Talk Radio. good afternoon and welcome. Listening to Victory Against All Odds, Fox Hill Radio hosts a talk show that actually helps women and children and men and things of that nature to be able to conquer the obstacles that come in your life. This is your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is January the 2nd, 2012, the beginning of a new year, a year of redemption. This will be the beginning of putting things back in order, the beginning of dividing light and darkness. This will be a year of victory for you. As we move forward, we will begin to see evidence of the strategic tools that we've introduced in 2011. Not only being used, but see the evidence of healing and deliverance and victory. For some, it will be small victories. For others, it will be giant leaps. No matter how big or small, they are still victories against all odds, nonetheless. We are moving forward, nonetheless. So for some, you're just beginning in 2012, or you have made that decision, and that's fine. You're here, and you're going to start off in a new beginning. And so for some, 2012 is just the beginning. You're just starting, and that's why we're here. So right now, we've established two things so far this afternoon, just that quick. Tell you a secret. 20 is redemption, meaning restoration and healing, and 12, which actually means divine order. But in this case, what we're going to do is we're going to break 12 down. One, and one means beginning or primary order, and two means division, or we could say separation of light and darkness. So if you put all that together, you should see where we're going with this. So we're going to recover. We're going to recover, and we're going to divide light and darkness, and we're going to come out on the winning side. How about that? So starting from the beginning, we're going to go back to child abuse and begin dividing and separating the good and the bad. So let's start. Let's talk. I don't know if I'm going to end up having chat because I'm actually streaming live from a different location, and I can't get chat open, so I'm a little disappointed. I'm still working on it. Okay, nonetheless, we'll keep moving. We already talked about child abuse. I've already, in 2011, we've defined what it was, or what it is, I should say. We've called it out. We've talked about the signs. We've talked about the symptoms, and we've talked about the effects. And for time purposes, you are more than welcome to go back to the archives and listen to those, and that will kind of give you an idea. So now, from there, we're going to go a little bit deeper. So we're going to begin to divide and conquer. That's what we're going to start, divide and conquer. In order to divide and conquer, we've got to know what it is that we are dividing and what we need to be that needs to be conquered. So we talked about coping, and that's where we're going to start. To cope with abuse, we had to learn strategies to survive, right? So there is a continuum of coping behaviors that survivors use to survive trauma. Some good, some bad. Some of the mechanisms actually develop strengths. And when we talk about strengths, we're talking about things such as self-sufficiency, a sense of humor, perfection for others. But now, at the same token, some of these mechanisms are self-defeating, such as stealing, lying, substance abuse, along with a list of other negative behaviors that can turn our world into a whirlwind going down. But if we put this under a microscope, it's going to probably look a little bit like this. That's what happens when you put it under a microscope. Talking about coping mechanisms. So we're going to start. We won't finish them all today, but we're going to start. Because we're at the beginning, and we're talking about dividing and separating light and darkness. And we're headed down the road. You'll see where this is going, as they say, by and by. We're going to start with minimizing. We minimize when we pretend and talk ourselves into believing that things aren't as bad as it appears. And with, when it comes to child abuse, that is a truly a coping mechanism. It kind of helps deaden the pain. We can talk about rationalizing. I don't know what's wrong with my, I'm just tongue-tied today. Rationalizing is when we try to explain why the situation or the event happened. Usually in order to do this, guess what? You're focusing on the abuser. Next, we tend to be in the state of denying. That's another coping mechanism. This is pretty self-explanatory. You just pretend it just didn't happen, or you avoid talking about it, or about the abuse, or what happened. Well, you just simply look the other way. Another mechanism, coping mechanism, is forgetting. I like this one, not in terms of that, but this one is one of the ones that a lot of survivors use across the board. You forget by putting the memory on the shelf. I know I did. You repress the memories, the feelings, the hurt, anger. And you just pretend it just, you know, it kind of compounds going back to the top. You just pretend it just didn't happen. Here's an interesting one for you. Splitting. And I know you're going, what in the world is splitting? I had this. Splitting is all about feelings. It's about feelings. So what happens when you're splitting is you split the feelings. It's two different states. And what I mean by that, good and bad, light and dark, all kind of correlates here. You're separating the good parent from the bad parent. Mind you, we're still talking about one parent. And in your mind, what you've done is you've separated the loving side of that parent, the nurturing side, the loving side, the you know, all the things that are positive about this particular parent versus the abuser side of the parent. You know, I can talk about myself all day because it's about me. And what I would do when you talk about splitting is still you're talking about one parent. Well, sometimes it's two, but, you know, we're just going to focus on the abuser. So the abuser, when they are abusing, that's one you take in your mind and you make that one parent be two parents. You think about the abusing side. And so you have one set of feelings for the abuser, and that could be anger and regret and bitterness, and we might as well be real, hate. At the same time, on a good day, when you're getting your way, or things are going smooth, I called it the good days, was the days that I could come home and know that everything was flowing. That's the good parent. You know, when, you know, there's conversation and it's productive. They seem to be engaged in what it is that made your day or what it was that made you smile, or they paid attention to the hurt, you know. Definitely not anything that they inflicted, however. It would be something someone else inflicted, maybe a bad day at school. So that's an example of what splitting is. Okay, let's go to another one. Here's another interesting one. Lack of integration. And you're going, what is that? Well, this one can be a little bit more serious. Lack of integration, if you break that down, it sounds just like that. It's when the survivor divides feelings into more than one person. So are you catching the hint already? Your inside and your outside are in the competition. Another way of really talking about it, breaking it down, is multiple personalities. And that can be, I know everybody kind of heard of the story of Sybil and all the multiple personalities that she had. And exactly what we're talking about when we talk about lack of integration. You're dividing your feelings into more than one person because you just cannot handle in one person all the feelings. It's just too overwhelming. So you split the feelings up and you remove those feelings and put it in another body. I know I did, but I didn't do it in the form of multiple personalities. I did it in the form of an imaginary friend. Didn't think about that. Imaginary friends is another way of talking about lack of integration. I had plenty of imaginary friends, and what happened is it started off with one, and then it just kind of built. What this does is it helps you to separate the feelings and the personality, and it helps you to be able to cope with your day. Because remind you, you've got all these different coping mechanisms built on top of each other and intertwining with each other all the time. So I know that sounds really complicated. Guess what? It really is. So can you imagine as a child, you know, having to have all these things going on instead of just being able to just be a child and be happy-go-lucky and having no cares in the world other than the fact that you know that your needs are supposed to be met, your survival needs, your shelter, your clothing, your safety. These are the things that children assume their world is safe. To an abuser, all those walls, all that security, your security blanket is torched just for all the pieces. So you've got to build your own coping mechanisms to make all this work. And I can only imagine anything younger than what I was having to put all these things together so early when all they're supposed to do is be a child, innocent at that. Whew, that makes me tired, just listening to it. Okay, let's go to another one. Leaving your body. It's another coping mechanism. I did this. Leaving your body is just that. It's sometimes the abuse is so cruel and painful that to cope, you numb your body and leave your own body. In other words, you rise up and out and float, or you reposition yourself and you watch from across the room, in the chair,
where whatever floats your boat at that particular point, whatever makes you feel safe. So in you're watching the abuse from a distance. And for sexual abuse in particular, but, you know, child abuse across the board, this is one of those coping mechanisms. And and telling on myself, you know what, I do this now. I do this when the pain is just so great. And when I mean pain, I'm talking about physical pain. I can remember having, when I was beginning to deliver my babies, and, you know, most women are just wailing and carrying on and, you know, calling their husband all outside their name or whoever, the other parent is. I'm not that type of person. I don't like to make a scene. So I used one of my childhood coping mechanisms because of abuse. You learn it. You never really, that's one of those that you could use for a positive and a negative. So I went back to leaving my body to cope with the intense pain. And I have a high tolerance for pain. But when it gets to, on a scale of 1 to 10, when it gets to about 11, then I am really leaving my body because that's about all I can do. So, and I didn't even mean to say all that, but it was needed for somebody that's listening. So really, you rise up and you float and you leave your body, you numb your body, and you watch the abuse from a distance. Another coping mechanism is control. This can be good and bad. This is one of the ones that it can be good and it can be bad. When you live in a chaotic situation and when you're talking about abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse, you have no control. So that's what it's all about. It's all about control. So the lack of control that you had as a child, when you become an adult, then the only thing you want to be able to do is to keep the control, or at least keep your life in order, because as a child it was so chaotic. There was no order. And here we are. Remember, we're talking about 2012. We're talking about going back to primary order. We're talking about being redeemed. We're talking about healing and restoration. So one of the definitely you want to do is get your life back in order. So control is definitely one of these things. So you go through great lengths to keep the life in order. So let's separate the good and the bad here. Generally, you can become a perfectionist. And this can be thought of in a good way. It has both sides. So let's break this down. To become a perfectionist, you tend to become a good organizer, if you will. And we can take that to the work environment. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Managing, if you can become the manager. And what you've done is because you strive to keep things in order, it causes you to be an organized person. And so your organizational skills are like off the chain. But we can also flip this over and we can talk about control being negative. And in a negative way, control could be to the point that you're not bendable, you're not flexible, you have no compromise, you're not willing to negotiate. So these are kinds of things where control is on the fence. It could go either way. It's all about perception and mindset. And the list goes on. I'm not going to prolong today for various reasons. But these are just a few of the coping mechanisms, and I do have callers in queue. I never did get the chat room thing going here. that is perfectly okay. This is temporary. These are just a few of the coping mechanisms that we touched on today. There are more. But I wanted to at least start this process because I don't want to overwhelm you. I want you to begin to think about this because, see, there are some who are now adults who have yet to face this, to begin to peel away the layers. And so this can be a concern. I will say we'll pick up on some of these as we go along. We want to build it a little bit slow, so you see where I'm going with this. But as we build, we also need to recognize that those are coping mechanisms, but as we travel, we have to get to the part, the healing process. Now, the interesting thing about it is that just as the coping mechanism is a continuum, so is the healing process. Beginning with an experience of survival, an awareness that you lived through this abuse and have made it to your adulthood. Now what? So beginning with an experience of survival and awareness that you've lived through this abuse to adulthood, now what are you going to do is the question. But remember, we're talking about order. So the healing process begins with an experience of survival. It is the awareness that you've lived through this abuse to your adulthood. Now what is the pause? But here's the good thing. It ends with you thriving, having victory against all the odds. The experience of a satisfying life no longer dictated by the events of your childhood. Is that not awesome? Ooh, I can't hardly wait. I'm just excited. So we will have to take this journey together and make sure that you are mentally ready. And the reason I'm stopping is because I'm getting ready to open some cans of worms for some that have been still wearing the mask all this time. You have been using these mechanisms all your life. This is not healthy. So, in order to get to the healing process, we're going to have to tap into this. We got to talk about it. Hold on, call me now. We're going to have to prepare our mind, our emotions, for what is to come. So I don't want to just throw you out here and don't prepare you for what's getting ready to happen. Because I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're getting ready to go through an emotional roller coaster. And I beg you and I beseech you and I urge you to prepare. Because you're going to be going through all these emotional difficulties, challenges, awareness, I suggest that you find someone that can be a support for you as you decide to make this leap of faith, take this journey, go on this walk. But I do this. I promise you that through your feelings, which will be stirred, they're going to be tossed around,
I promise you one thing. You're going to survive. You're going to survive this. I wouldn't dare tell you it's smooth sailing. It is not. It really isn't. You may cry. You may be angry because we're going to have to talk about this. You're going to have to really deal with all of these coping mechanisms that you've been using that have been interrupting your life. Some of these coping mechanisms really aren't healthy, and you can tell because you're not happy. Things aren't always going right. There's always something missing or something out of place. But I promise you this, you're going to survive. But here is what I want you to do. I want you to get someone, a friend, a husband, a wife, a parent, a therapist, whoever is in your circle that you feel safe, that don't judge, that won't criticize, that won't look at you strange. Don't be talking about it behind your back. Don't ask you a lot of questions, having you to validate your feelings. You don't have to validate your feelings to anybody. They're yours. You own them. You're making the decision, or you're pondering to make the decision to heal. This is a powerful step. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was powerful. It's not an easy step, but it is an important step. Everyone deserves to heal. Everybody deserves to heal. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to face our demons. We're going to look up in the face. We're going to have our support network available to us. And while I'm thinking about it, thank you. Get your journal. Get you a journal. If you have to go to the dollar store, get you a pen and a pad. And you're going to need to journal. And this is another thing, while I'm talking, that's just flowing, that's just coming down, that I need you to do. Find an outlet. Remember we talked about anger? We're going to take the anger because anger will come. Take the anger, and we're going to use the anger as a positive tool. That's one of the strategic tools that we talked about in 2011 that you are going to use. So here we are talking about putting these things to work, moving and getting redemption, healing, and restoration. Take the anger and use it in a positive way. Well, I missed that show. I wasn't listening. This is my first time. Okay, what did we say about using it in a positive way? Exercise, bike riding, swimming, journaling, going to the movies, talking to a friend, whatever you need to do to make this anger as an outlet. Basically what that means is you're going to take this anger and you're going to find a positive outlet. That doesn't mean drinking. No. That doesn't mean getting in the fight or beating up. No, not that type of releasing. We're talking something positive. So, you know, go exercising, go jogging, go walking. Talk to a friend, go to the movies, or something recreational that gets the endorphins pumping, something that gets the heart pumping, and that will release the endorphins, and that will kind of give you a relief and get that anger out in a positive way. Wow. Okay, so we're going to face our demons. We're going to face the past to give yourself a future. And then
we can then, at that point, once we start facing our future and we are healing, then we can help someone else heal. When we help someone else heal, then we know that we have had victory. And that's a wonderful thing. Oh, okay. Well, I got that out. Thank you for being so patient. I'm going to open the line. I got about a good 20 minutes or so. So hold on just a moment here. Hello, caller. This is Victory Gets All Out. You're on the air. Caller, last four digits, 0323. Have a question, a comment?
No, just listening to it overall, and I've enjoyed it so far. Just listening and just grasping at some things that you're saying in terms of 2012 and divine order and beginning and the vision and everything. I'm getting a lot out of it. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Hello, caller 7437. You're on the air. This is Victory Against All Odds. Do you have questions, comments?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Evangelist Benton, this is Apostle Robinson. Happy New Year. We send our love and we thank God for your staying on the front line there. I do have a comment.
Amen. Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. When you mentioned certain coping mechanisms that individuals use when they go through abuse for survival, either in their childhood or as adults, I can recall the surroundings being very disorganized and very chaotic and unstable to the point that things were not in order. So the need to, if I can use the word control and bring order, produce my desire to be a perfectionist and to demand order,
uh-huh.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So in my world, I said, as a child, I said, this is just crazy. I said, when I become an adult, I said, I have no control over what is happening or what has happened, but when I get older, I'm going to make sure that this does not happen to my children and that they live in a home where there's order.
Yes.
So in my house, when things are not in their prospective places, I'm not a happy camper. stress them out with the perfectionism, but my niche is I want things in order. To me, it's a de-stressing mechanism, and some people can flow with things not in their places, and it seems to not bother them, but to me, it's like turning my world upside down. So I have a certain place where I put my keys, a certain place where I put this, a certain place where I put that, and that's where I want it to be. And if it's moved, then I want to know who moved my cheese, if I can use that expression, because I don't want to hem and haw. I don't want to chase things. I want to know that there's a pattern set so that I'm able to focus with what I need to focus. And, you know, I have a saying that they adopted in the corporate world, first-time resolution. In other words, the way my brain and my personality works, I think that if you set things in order, when you don't have crisis, when you're faced with a crisis, you're able to remain calm because you know the things that you could put in place, put in perspective, you were able to deal with them, so you can take that energy that you would normally use to chase things and find things that are in disarray and pursue things that are out of order. You can take those energies and use it in the time of crisis and still remain calm. Does that make sense?
Makes great
sense. So that
sense.
Was, well, I passed that on to our children. And so I said to them, I said, now, if you desire to have a life with a companion wherein that there is peace, I said, you know, there'll always be intense fellowship where you disagree or one sees it another way because you're individuals. Even though you're married to that person, they bring into that that relationship traits and values and family traditions and things they were taught. I said, but if you take that trait and use it in your marriage, and pass that on, I said, you will be able to see things that are out of order and work on the things that you can change and the things that you cannot change, then you pray about them. Mm-hmm. So that was my way of dealing. And then as I became a Christian and established my relationship with God, I discovered that one of the fruits of the Spirit was self-control.
Yes.
And that set me free because I said to myself, I said, when people attempt to control others, it's satanic. And abuse is a desire to rule over people, to control people, and to oppress people. But when you look within the mirror, when you look in the mirror and say, I need to deal with me. I need to exercise self-control. I need to exercise temperance. I need to exercise balance. Then I believe, I am convinced that God recognizes that. He rewards that. And then the end result is we're in a position where we're able to love. We're able to give. We're able to have balance and able to compromise without losing what it is that we want to keep. So that's uh-huh. been my gift back to myself and my family and the world to say, okay, I know God said take dominion and be fruitful and multiply, but my uh-huh. exercising self-control means that I'm not out to control people. My walking in dominion means that I am to see and be mindful as to what that person is bringing in my life and celebrate it and not seek to control and lord over people. It's been a wonderful healing process for me as a woman, as a mother, as a wife, as a minister, as a leader in the community. It has just brought me so many wonderful people in my life, and it allowed me to love. It allowed me not to walk around guarded and to walk around suspicious. You know, when people, free people that are free, then they free other people. And people that hurt, they hurt other people. And
that's right.
So this has been just a wonderful a journey, and no, it hasn't always been roses, and I'm sure that the challenges and the trials will come, but God gave me something to use so that I'm able to love and to share and to encourage. So for that, I'm truly thankful. And those gifts, my friend, they are priceless.
Yes. Yes, I truly agree with that. I truly agree with that. I like that. When you talk about control, because that is one of the monsters. If you are not mindful, just that one coping mechanism alone can destroy everything
mm-hmm.
in your adulthood, and you have a mess on your hands if you're not mindful.
Mm-hmm.
Because telling on myself, I had to learn how to put that one aspect back into balance because I went from as because I was abused, my lot, if you will, was trying to be a people pleaser because I wanted people to love me. And when I began to see the light, if you will, I went from not having any backbone to the extreme other end. I was mean. I could almost be mean because I wanted all the control, and I wasn't. And I was like I said, I wasn't trying to be flexible. I wasn't trying, you know, I wasn't trying to be bendable. And so when I recognized that I had gone from one extreme to the other, and there was no balance there, I had to move back to the middle. And when I got married, I found something out about myself that I had a problem with that thing. I still had not conquered it like I needed to, because I like for if you say you're this, or you know, if you're going to be the head, if you will, I'm just going to break it on down, then I expected you to do that so that there would be order in the household. And I'm like that too. I like to have order. It sends me in a tizzy when things are out of balance and there's no order. And so if I find that you don't know what you're doing, I have a tendency to take over because I want order. It just makes me crazy. It makes me crazy not to have any order. Oh, I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I have to be very mindful and aware, and I always have to keep that one in front of me, because if I don't, I'll see where you're trying to take this, and if you don't do what you're supposed to, I will take it and run with it and be like, okay, let's do this and let's do that. And I used to be a manager. When I did, I used to work with men and women and children who were homeless, who had been in abusive situations or whatever the reason that got them to be homeless, whether it was substance abuse, and usually it was dual, you know, more than one thing compounded on top of each other that got them to the state. And, you know, just kind of getting them started out the box when they got to me, I gave them a set of instructions that was going to begin to put their life back in order, because they came to me because they had none. And so my thing was to, let's do this in order. What things are lacking in your life? And let's start with, from the beginning, putting things back in order. That is one of my specialties. I love to do that for people. And it just kind of comes naturally. And so, you know, me talking about me, you know, I was a perfectionist until children came. You know, it was like, I was like you. It just sends me in a tizzy. And I've learned to try to balance that out a little bit, you know, so that I don't make other people's lives miserable because of, you know, my shortcomings. So I appreciate you sharing that with me.
You're welcome.
Amen. All right. Well, I am going to. Did you have anything else?
No, we're enjoying the show. We're just excited. And we know that you have some days with some of your people in the audience that are listening, and they're going to call, and we're going to have some people that will be on board that will offer some services for, the organization and for the people and the families. So I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and how you have committed your life to making the difference. And the difference is the people can walk in victory and not as victims. So we are so appreciative for your standing. We're appreciative for you being the mouthpiece for those that have been silent. I'm sure there are people that are listening to this broadcast, and they've been threatened, their very life, and they've been told, don't say a word. This shall not be spoken to your mom or to your parents or, you know, the person that is their caretaker. And this can be a child or an adult or someone elderly. So we're thankful today for your stand, and we're certainly thankful to God that for your obedience to bring out this awareness and to let people know that they do not have to live a defeated life. And the first step for the healing process is to bring it, to open that door and say, this is what happened, but I do not have to become what I went through. I don't have to be a victim. I can, there's a place to heal, there's a place to go, and there are people that have avenues and resources to direct me so that the process is obtainable. So for that, we love you, and we are just thankful. Thank you for standing. Thank you for just speaking for those who have been silenced and those who are no longer, and those that would like to say, but they're afraid to speak. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you for those kind
You're welcome.
Words. I just thank you again for those kind words, and I thank my other listeners who are out there who have maybe listening but have not pressed one to be in the queue. I thank you for your support, and if you know someone who may be in, you know, this very situation, or you have suspect. Don't ignore the suspect. Usually, when you become suspect, usually you're right. You're seeing signs, you know, bruises, or a child who was just so full of life, and all of a sudden they, you know, they barely, you know, they just look so sad. And a lot of times, the eyes tell everything. You know, that's why I guess they used to tell people to look into your eyes, or in my case, I wasn't allowed to look into, you know, my grandparents' eyes. You know, that was a sign of being insubordinate, or disrespectful. But do not ignore. And if you are in any position as a caregiver or one who can be a support, or save a child's life, then you need to do that. You don't need to turn the other way. You don't need to ignore it. You don't need to pray and say it'll be all right. Mm-mm. That is not. You can pray, but you need to take action. If you are an adult and you've never took this demon on, now in 2012, it is time to heal thyself. It is time to take this walk. It is ever most important. I didn't say it was easy. It is important. And I promise you, you will never be the same. You will get your life back. Everything that was taken, everything that you lost, you will gain and some. Or at least you will live at this point a thriving life. You will be happy. You will know what joy is all about. When they talk about joy unspeakable, you will begin to experience how to love someone else the right way. And you will begin to be able to give instead of seeking in a positive way. And you won't medicate your pain. You won't put on a mask. But just like Apostle Robinson, who just called, talked about walking in freedom, free people, it is absolutely the truth. And it's all about being truthful. It's all about
walking in victory, being free, and walking in the calling and the purpose that you were put here for. Everyone was put here for a reason, not to be abused. That was certainly not it. You'll begin to figure out who you are and what you were supposed to be doing in life. And guess what? There won't be any hesitation, and you'll be able to have healthy relationships and know how to enjoy the things that life has to offer, and guess what? Then offer it to someone else. But the best gift that you can offer someone else is love, unconditional. All righty. Okay, I got 3 minutes left. I just thank everyone for listening. I just want you to know that I am excited about what 2012 is going to bring. I'm excited for this is the first show on the air, and this broadcast was sponsored. And I appreciate that. It helps keep things going. And if you would like to help sponsor, please get in contact with me. You may inbox me at odds, O-D-D-S underscore against underscore the letter U at yahoo.com if you would like to be a sponsor to keep the program going. That would be a blessing. No pressure, but if the Lord lays it on your heart to do so, please get in contact with me, or you may Facebook inbox me on the Facebook account. My Facebook account is www.facebook.com/victory against all odds, or you may look me up under Donise Benton, D-O-N-I-S. E, last name is Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N. I thank you for listening. I thank you for joining me. I hope that I've said something that was a seed deposit in your life, something that you can take with you. I hope you were able to write some things down. But, of course, if you were not, you are always most certainly welcome to go back and listen again and be prepared to write things down and share what you've learned with someone else. Have a great day. God bless you.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothe yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out.